Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And we are going to be on session six today, so hopefully you got your handout at the door. And also, I just wanted to announce that we're getting the podcast up, so we're updating and we're getting those podcasts up as fast as we can. So if you ever want to listen to the class again, just go to faithfights.com. I should bring some more cards, but faithfights.com, and you can listen to the class again on the podcast. And we're going to, it's faithfights with an S, .com. And we're going to try and get the link on the church app as well, or the church website. So why don't we just go right into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and kindness. Lord, we thank you. We know it's only by your grace that we're here today, Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we pray more than anything, let your Holy Spirit come, Lord. Not that we are deserving, but by your grace, oh God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come and not just hover above us, but fall on us, Lord God, and infiltrate us, Lord. Teach us by your power. Teach us by your Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are in session six today, and it's what:types of prayer. And the way our book is broken down, it goes into the why. We talked about why pray, and we went through those lessons on why pray and the importance of praying. Last week, we were in the lesson on what prayer is and isn't, you know, because when it comes to prayer, you've got to be real with it. You got to know what it is. You got to define what prayer is. And we talked about if you are not connecting, if you're not communing, you're just saying words. So you want to connect, you know, we want to make sure that you're communing with God when you're praying. You're not just saying empty words into the air. And then today we're going to talk about the types of prayer. And this is really an awesome lesson as we talk about the types of prayer. Our key verse is from 1 Timothy 1 through 2. 1 Timothy, the second chapter and the first verse. And it says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's our key verse there. And your lesson says God gives freedom in prayer for you to flow in and out of several areas of prayer as needed. And even with that first statement, I just want to comment that God wants you to be real with him in prayer. You know, that's what the connection is all about, is being real, not having up these walls or facade. God already knows all about you anyway. So you might as well be real. You know, you're just standing there. You know, if you're trying to put on a facade for God, you don't have to. God wants you to be real with him when you pray, so you can flow in and out of several areas of prayer as you pray. Your lesson says he desires intimacy and vulnerability with you in prayer. Therefore, there are no rigid rules of prayer. You may talk to God as you desire. However, the acronym ACTS, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, has been useful to describe the types of prayer. These four types of prayer provide a useful and natural progression as you interact with the Lord. And that's a comment from our book here. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. Please get a handout at the door. There's a handout on our lesson. Welcome to the class. Just have a seat anywhere. And so the four types of prayer. It's a natural progression. So your lesson says, let's look closer at each of these prayer types to understand their relevance as you commune with God. Virginia, would you close that door behind you so we can... So let's look closer at each of these types of prayers to understand their relevance as you communicate with God. And guys, I tell you, as I was going through this lesson, all I could get through was adoration yesterday, okay? So that's all we're going to get through today. I'm going to tell you up front, is just adoration when it comes to prayer. Adoration, your lesson says, is prayer that praises and worships God. That's from our book. God is fully and always worthy of your praise and worship. And I just want to say for those of you that are new to the class is that we're in the book Battle Plan for Prayer. Dee, can I borrow one of your books? Battle Plan for Prayer. This is our book. It's by the Kendrick brothers. Stephen and Alec Kendrick wrote this book, Battle Plan for Prayer. It is the companion book to The War Room. Mm-hmm. And this is the book that we've been using. You can get it on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. And this is the book that we've been going on. And then we write our own notes for that. So again, adoration is prayer that praises and worships God. God is fully and always worthy of your praise and worship. Let me say that again. God is fully and always worthy of your praise and worship. Amen. The fact that you come to him in prayer and not another denotes that you understand his greatness. We come to God because we recognize that we need him. For that reason alone, he's worthy to be honored by us all. Adoration is not about requesting from him. It is about recognizing who he is. Okay, we're going to park there for just a minute and just talk on that point. It is not about requesting. It is about recognizing who God is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. He has been to mankind and to ourselves personally. The fact that this old planet is still rotating on its axis and we're not, you know, we're still here. Talks about the greatness and the mercy and the grace of God toward mankind and to us personally. I think we all can have stories about how God came through for us over and over again. To recognize the vastness of his mercy and grace toward us is unfathomable. It should overwhelm us with adoration for him. And folks, sometimes we didn't realize it. We didn't even realize that God was looking out for us and we ignored him. And I don't want to get too further on our lesson, but just it should overwhelm us as we think about what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. We live on his planet. We eat his food. We breathe his air, you know, and we should adore him and praise him just for that reason. If you have difficulty adoring God, and we all have been there or are there, if you have difficulty adoring God, it's because you don't know him enough to believe him and his word enough. And we're all on this journey of learning God more. You know, there was a time when I didn't adore God because I just didn't know God well enough. I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate God. This is not a criticism for people that do not adore God. We had to take the journey of knowing him. The beautiful things that the more you get to know him, the more you understand his mercy and his grace. Oh, before you knew any better. Boy, I just look back and I'm like, God, you took care of me before I knew any better. Before I even knew to worship you and praise you, you took care of me. And then now that I'm growing and I'm seeing how much you do for me as an individual, Lord, I look back and I tear up because I know you took care of me just like a parent takes care of their children. They're not the infant doesn't thank you, you know, but you take care. But they look back and they realize how much you do, and you tear up when you look back and you see God's mercy and God's grace in your life before you knew any better. He was protecting you and kept you. Boy, I had some near misses where my life could have been taken out of here, but I thank God. Amen. You know, and I look back and I said, boy, I know my mom was praying and God was looking out, you know, because she was praying. So you look back and you say, Lord, I thank you and I adore you because of you. You love me. You know, that old song goes, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me, you know, and you know, when you really look at that song, you know, sometimes when you look back, it fills me with tears. You know, you hear the children singing and they may not understand that song because they sing that song a lot. But when you sing it as an adult and you think about, because he first loved me when I was doing everything, as they say, I was big enough to do, he loved me. To be in the presence of a king and not know it. Mm-hmm. See, that's where we are. We're in the presence of a king and we don't know it. He held your life in his hand as you ignored him. That's what we're talking about, folks. You ignored him. You didn't praise him. Some of us even cursed him. And he held our very lives in his hand. And when you look back, oh, that's when you can adore him. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all you've done, because that didn't have to happen. I did not have to be spared. I know people that were not spared, but Lord, you spared my life. And Lord, I adore you and I praise you. Again, we're talking about adoration. We're talking about coming to God, not to request anything, but just to adore him and to thank him and to praise you. And when you adore God, it brings intimacy between you and God. When you adore him, it brings an intimacy because you're not coming to get anything. You're coming just to adore him. The next area on your lesson is from Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. And it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. I love that. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. And that's, again, Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. And boy, it just really just blesses my heart to know that God decided to do it and God wanted to do it. And that makes all the difference. God wasn't coaxed into doing. He wasn't forced into sending his son. He decided to do it for you and for me. And he wanted to do it for you and for me. The next one in your lessons is God is our hope, help, and the one who has bought our salvation with the blood of his dear son. Hallelujah. God is our cool cup of water in the desert. He is our lifeline in a raging sea. We are glad when we see him in our lives, and we adore him as we come into his presence. By worshiping God wholeheartedly with our lips and lives, we get to do the greatest thing in the greatest way for the greatest one. I love that. And that's from our book. He does all these wonderful things for us. King David proclaimed, and this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, when you adore somebody, you like going to their house. You like just hanging out. You know, you just hang out. You know, I just think about, you know, all the people that, you know, when I go home to my mom's house, all these people that just show up. I'm like, who are you? You know, just people that just love to be there, you know, around her. Even my family, you know, my brothers and sisters, they're there and they're wanting to be. They just want to hang out because they're glad to go in the house. When you adore people, you like to be around them. And you, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that's Psalms 122 and 1. As we look at the word hallelujah in your lesson, it's a Hebrew word, which means hallel, which means praise, and yah, which means Lord. So hallelujah means praise the Lord. So when anytime we say hallelujah, you know, Terry, my friend Terry is in here, but we have a hallelujah chorus going on one side of the church sometimes. You know, I hear Terry goes, hallelujah, like she can only say it, and then I have to yell hallelujah back to her, you know. But we're talking, we're yelling praise the Lord because we're in his presence, and it's good to be there. Adoration of God creates intimacy with him. Adoration is different from praise in that it is admiration wrapped in love. See, praise, you can just be singing and praising and praising. But adoration is different in that it's praise wrapped in love. I mean, as you adore him. Adoration comes from you to him because of who he is. Adoration brings you into his presence, not to request anything, but just to be near him. And I just want to challenge you, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. What are you doing on Sunday morning when you're singing those praise and worship songs? Are you just singing? You're just going along because you like the beat or you like the melody? Or are you singing to him? You know, because that's what it is. That's what it's about, singing to him. You know, I love it, you know, because that's what's so beautiful about church. You get to sing with your brothers and sisters all together to your one Father. It's the children's chorus, if you will, singing to the Father, you know, about how wonderful and how great he is. But again, you know, as you adore him, as you're singing those praises, it means everything. Have you, you know, and as I said, have you ever had a person in your life that you wanted to be around? You know, do you know that Mother's Day is the most celebrated holiday in America? It is more celebrated than Christmas. I tell you, the post office says, you know, Christmas, yes, we get a lot of stuff at Christmas, but Mother's Day, oh my goodness. Wow. They get a lot. They said there's more stuff on Mother's Day than any other day because children, even as they grow up, they adore, you know, Mother's Day. No knock on the dads or anything like that, but Mother's Day. Because mothers are nurturers. That's why. Mothers are nurturers. You know, so it's really interesting when you can make that comparison. Young children, you know, if you ever see a young child, you know, they want to be around their parents. You know, when you come close to them, they get close to their mom and dad. They're holding on to them, you know, because they want to be with their parents. They want to hang out. You know, that little boy, he wants to hang out with dad. Okay, dad and I did this, and they do all these things. And that's a picture of what we're talking about when we say adoration. They adore their parents, you know, at that age. They want to be with them. They're, you know, it is not just because they take care of them. They just like to be with them. You know, if you ever hear try to take a baby from a mom, mm-hmm. you know, that baby starts wiggling and crying, right? Because he just wants to be with mom. Mom is not doing anything for him. He just wants to be there. Or she just wants to be there because they adore mom. They just want to be near mom. You know, they feel good with mom. They feel safe with mom or dad. You know, so you see that same picture. Do you have that same feeling when it comes to God? Do you just like to be in his presence? You know, I just want to turn on the worship because I just want to worship you right now. I just want to be in your presence. I know I'm driving to work, but Lord, I just want you to know, I just want to be in your presence. You know, I have no requests. I just want to hear your worship and your praise. I just want to sing something to you. That's what we're talking about. That adoration that you have. You know, for a person, you just want to be with them. And as I said, you know, you want to hang out at their house, you know, always there. Most of you know what I'm talking about. They're at mom and daddy's house, you know, you just go over mom and you just go because you just want to go. Just, you know, you don't have anything that you want to do. I just want to go and hang out at mom and daddy's. I got a TV, but I just want to go watch TV at mom and daddy's house, you know, for that reason. Why? Because you adore them. You have an adoration them and you love being around them. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about adoring God. Do you like being around him? Do you invite him into everything you're doing? Do you shut him out of parts of your life, or is he in everything? You know, what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're talking about, you know, and you have this sense in that he's right there. You know, I'm never going to get out of your presence. I'm never going to leave you. So your lesson says we pray in adoration. We stop focusing on ourselves and the storms and start fixing our eyes on the only one who is able to handle any situation or request, you know. And again, that's, you know, that's why, you know, we love God and we hang around him because we know we're safe there. We feel good there, you know, so we want to do that. Just some other comments on the adoration part. Adoration, we have praise and praise and prayer. As I said, praise is prayer and prayer can be praise in scripture. Reveals people expressing the following things, or adoration for God reveals people expressing the following things. Number one, when you adore God, it's a reminder of who God is. When you adore him, you are creator. You are awesome. You are Lord of all. And the scriptures from Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. Boy, we're not even talking about humans. We're talking about the angels. The heavenly host bows down before you. Just recognizing who he is, recognizing that everything came from him. There is nothing made that did not come from God. Do you understand that? Nothing made. You know, we came to this world with nothing. We leave with nothing because it never really belonged to us in the first place. You know, it was all his. You know, we have our societies and we have our communities and we, you know, we buy our properties and we buy our houses and we buy our clothes and we buy our food, but it's all his. Amen. You know, it's all his. So we recognize that he made everything and we can rejoice on how he made everything, you know, and you start to appreciate, as you adore God, you start to appreciate just really little things. Things that you used to ignore before. Remember when people used to say, stop and smell the roses? You will stop and smell the roses and appreciate the roses. You know, you ever look at a flower and see the detail in a flower? I'm like, a tiny flower too. Like, why did you even bother to put those little dots and those little circles inside the flower?
Oh, because of his love. It just shows I loved you enough that I wanted to put that there for you. You know, that's what you begin to understand. The love of God, as you adore him, you understand how amazing and how great he is. I was thinking about the trees and how amazing the trees are. You know, I never used to pay, but I know I'm paying attention to trees, people, because I'm just recognizing how, you know, and I'm just looking at the trees and the wind and how, you know, Jesus, he made the trees so that the trees blow in the wind. You ever watch trees blow in the wind? It's so soothing and calming just to watch the trees and the way they blow in the wind. And I said, Lord, you could have made that so that it didn't move when the wind came through. You know, but you made it so that we not only do we can see not just the beauty of the tree, but the way it sways in the wind. And it's so calming and it's so soothing. And even if you listen, put sound to it. So that as you listen to the wind blowing through the trees, it's just this soothing sound. You know, he is great. He is awesome. You know, I mean, with us, you know, we would have probably just, okay, put the tree there, boom, you know, and that's it. You know, if you ever seen a little child's drawing, you know, that's what we do. You know, we just, oh, here's the tree, and, you know, nothing's drawn to proportion, you know, and here's a stick figure, that's dad, and that's mom, you know, but God, in his greatness and his vastness, you know, the thing, the details he puts in everything, that's why we adore him. And we learn, and as you adore him, you become more intimate with him, as I said, and you don't take so much for granted. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Just look up some of what the scientists know about the planet Jupiter and Saturn and Mars, man. Oh, I thank God for planet Earth, man. And all the things that go on in planet Earth and how he made it and how he enveloped us in an atmosphere that protects us from the coldness of space. I mean, just so many things he's done. And the scripture says the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the Lord and all that is on it, the sea and all that is in them, you give life to all of them. And the heavenly host bows down before you. See, that's who he is. And that's why we adore him, folks, for all those reasons. The next point says, a recounting of what he's done. Oh, wow. Okay, let's park here for a minute. You rescued us. You saved us. You provided for me or for us. And the scripture from John 3:16, you know it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, the giving of his son is beyond anything that anyone else will ever do for you. Okay, even if you decided, well, I'm going to give up my child for another person, your child was not sinless and your child was not holy. And your child was not the son of God, someone that did not have to come. So nothing we can do can ever compare to what God did in giving his son for us. He rescued us. Do you understand where we were headed? And he rescued us and he saved us. And as you grow in him, he's changing us. And he decided, as we said earlier, to adopt us into his family. That was a decision he made all by himself, that I'm going to adopt Karen. I'm going to adopt Rita. I'm going to adopt you into my family because I want to. Because I want to. Because I love you. So again, recounting of what he has done. And each of us have our own stories. We each have our own stories of what God has done. Even when we didn't recognize it. I look back years and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, that could have went another way. But Lord, you were there back then. I didn't recognize you. I didn't thank you for it. I just went on my way. But as I look back, Lord, I thank you that you were there and you had mercy on my soul and you kept me and you protected me at that time. So many things could have happened, but God keeps us. So we recount what he has done, and that's another reason why we adore him. And then finally, the next point, a recognition of his holiness. There is none greater, higher, better, or more powerful than God. Oh, wow. Isn't that true? No one higher, better, greater, or more powerful than he is. I am so glad he's holy. Can you imagine if he was corrupt and had all this power and he was corrupt? Oh my God, I am so glad. So you gotta adore him. I thank you because you cannot be a corrupted, that you are holy. That's what that means. He's incorruptible. That's what holy means. And I'm so glad with all of the things he is, that he is holy. So we recognize his holiness. Psalm 68:35 says, "You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." And then Isaiah 29:23 says, "When he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe and reverent fear of the God of Israel." And that's why we come, because he is holy. We are safe because he's holy. Do you understand? We're safe because he's holy. If he was corrupt, folks, you better sleep with one eye open. And even with that, there's probably not much you could do with his great power. Amen. But because he's holy, we are safe. He cannot be corrupted. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be bought off. He will remain holy throughout eternity. He's holy. So we recognize him and we adore him because he is holy. The next point on your lesson says, a rejoicing in his name. We lift up his name. We lift up your name. I praise your name. We honor your name. God's name is powerful because it designates who he is, his positioning and sovereignty in the universe. Wow, his name has power. When we speak his name, we're speaking the greatest power there is. We need only speak his name in prayer to invite greatness into our midst. Do you understand? That's why people just say Jesus. Just Jesus, and something changes the atmosphere when you say Jesus. And that's why people get so irritated when you use Jesus. When you say Jesus, you know, oh my goodness. Oh, they're talking about the Savior, because those spirits don't like that. You know, because he is great. And when you say his name, they have to flee. They shudder when you start saying his name because they know how powerful and how great he is. We spent almost 2 or 3 years just talking about living and praying in Jesus' name, you know, and just what that name meant. And we went through all the Bible and talking about, I'm sure we didn't even exhaust all the titles that he has, but just going through what that name meant. And all we have to do is say Jesus. Sometimes I don't know what to say. You ever been there? Yeah. Just overwhelmed with the situation. And I have no words. All you can say is Jesus. 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 I remember, I just remember being a little girl. My mom would look at the TV and she would see all the stuff that's going on. And she would just go, Jesus. Jesus. And I get it now. Because when you say that name, it changes everything. You know, the angels are dispatched when you say Jesus. You know, when you pray over your kids, sometimes you don't know what to say. You know, you've heard the latest episode and you're like, oh, I just put my hand on their door. I said, Jesus, 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 because I know he knows the answer. He knows what to do. And there's power and there's greatness in his name. And when you say his name, you invite greatness into your midst immediately. All you have to do is say the name of Jesus. Psalm 52:59 says, the scriptures declare, I will thank you forever because you have done it. You have rescued me and kept me safe. I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones. Psalm 52:9. Oh, it is good. It's a good name. It's something that you say. It should ever be on your lips. As we were, the song that goes, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. And your name is ever on my lips. You know, I just wanted to slip out in a moment, you know, when I'm not even thinking, Jesus comes out. You know, and it's because he is great. And we adore his name. Adore his name. His name has clout and power. Demons tremble at the sound of his name. And you can find multiple scriptures that tell you that demons tremble. But Luke 10:17 in particular, if you want to write that down, it says the 70 return with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subjected to us in your name. Yeah. 1070 or 17?
70 or 17.
I said 17, but just check that. check it for me. Okay. 17. Even the demons, you know. I mean, he sent, if you can get a picture of this, Jesus sent out 70 people to go out in his name, and they came back with this report. Even the demons are subjected to us because of your name. Not because of my name, but because I'm going in your name, even the demons back down.
1070.
And back up. You know, because I am going out in your name. And so, folks, that's why you want to get this intimacy with God going. Because when you go out in his name, no one's going to bother you. You know, they may come at you, but you be ready to stand in Jesus' name. You be ready to stand in his name, and you watch that even the very demons will back up because they will have to be subjected to his name. And then finally, we adore him as we relinquish control. And this is a part of adoration. Relinquishing control. And this is such a hard thing for humans, because remember what we talked about? This is where we fell. This is where we fell in the garden. Pride. Pride, 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 pride. You know, and again, I have to quote quote Andrew Murray. He said, every human sin can be traced back to pride. And it does. So this is hard, you know, because we don't want to adore him because we think we're all that. Why should I adore him when I'm all that? I've heard people say some of these new religions and faiths that you see today, well, why do you have to praise God? Why do you have to worship him? Why do you have to go to church? Why do you have to do this? Because, you know, they don't want to adore him. I'm just as good as him. I'm just as, you know, I mean, this.
I've heard some say, I'm God.
Yeah, yeah. They feel that they're gods too, you know. So it comes back to that spirit, that demon of pride that was set up in humanity from the very beginning, from the garden. You know, that's how we fell in the garden, because Satan said to Eve, you can be just as good as him. You can be just like him. All you have to do is do this. And that's where we fell. So if you trace every human sin, and you know, I rarely thought about that when I read that in his book, Andrew Murray's book, and I found it to be true. I said, everything, our wars, from the wars to all the things that we do, it comes back to our pride issues, and to the point where we have issues even adoring God. You know, humans, okay, I get, you know, humans, you know, but you can't even adore God until you relinquish control. You have to relinquish control of you. Your lesson says, I love you and give you my life. I surrender to you. All that I am and have is yours. Boy, are you willing to say that? Are you willing to live that? The scripture says, do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act. I love this is the Amplified. In a decisive act, as those alive raised from the dead into a new life, and your members, all of your abilities sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness, yielded to God. There's a lot here, because it's saying you have to do this decisively. Folks, it's not going to just happen. You're not going to submit to God passively because you were born in pride. We're just prideful creatures. You have to think about submitting to God, because our bodies and our flesh wants to do everything else. Our will and our emotions wants to do everything else. So you have to make a decision to submit to God. It's a decisive act. You know, the scripture says that you give yourself to God, your members, and all of your abilities. Wow, that's another piece. Your giftings. You know, everyone in this room has giftings, has things that God has put in you. You know, are they submitted to God, or are they submitted to what you want to do? And we have to think about it, you know, how we submit our gifts to God. You know, we're usually so caught up in the gifts that are very obvious, singing, people that can you know, do all these things, you know, ice skate, whatever, you know. But, yeah. But, you know, gifting, cooking, boy, there are people that can just put things together and it's a gift. I mean, my goodness. You know, carpentry, you know, it amazes me how people can build construction. I'm just like watching people construction, the men doing construction. You know, we just built a building. And boy, just the way they put it together. And I'm looking at just layer upon layer upon layer, the pipes and the, you know, just gifting. You know, we had a really amazing architect that kind of designed everything. And it was just amazing how they knew how to put everything and at the right time. And it was just like a gift. We all have giftings of different things and how we do things and how we, you know, look at things. Is it submitted to God? Because that's what the scripture, all your abilities. You know, because sometimes we like to compartmentalize God. You know, but can you submit everything to God that is you? So to adore him, you have to relinquish that control. You know, because when you relinquish that control, I'll tell you right now, if you relinquish that control, he can bless the gifts that are in your life. Yes, you're gifted, but boy, you let relinquish control to God and that gift that he created and put in you, oh, you'll see it explode. It'll just be amazing. And when you see it, you will turn around and adore him because of it. Like, you know, Lord, I know that wasn't me. You know, so many times I said, nah, Lord, I know you were there in that meeting because I'm not that smart and I'm not that deep. So I know you came to that meeting and told me what to say because I'm not that smart. You know, I mean, you gave me some intellect, but I know when you come in the room, there's a difference and there's a change, folks. So again, we adore God when we relinquish ourselves. Your scripture goes on to say, for sin will no longer be master over you, since you are not under the law as slaves, but under unmerited grace as recipients of God's favor and mercy. And that's Romans 13, 14, the Amplified. So as we're looking at that relinquishing control, you'll see such an amazing thing happen when you start adoring God with your gifts. You know, adoring God with your gifts. You know, and you'll see what God will do in your life with that. The next one says, give yourself to God on purpose. Oh, wow, we got to park there for a minute. We talked about it a little bit in relinquishing control, but giving yourselves to God on purpose. Not because something happened to coax you to surrender, but because you love him, trust him, and want to give yourself to him as a bride to her groom. You know, boy, we got to, boy, just really look at that. You know, as I said, I love talking to Christians, you know, because, boy, we got some issues, man. And I love, because the Word of God was written for Christians, okay? All right? I used to think it was written for all those sinners, but it was, I'm learning that this book is for us, yes, you know, yes, because we have to grow up in him. And I'm thinking about that song, you know, that Andre Crouch wrote long ago, if heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he came along and brought me the light. You know, and as I said, you got to think about, do you give yourself to God because you're coaxed into it? Everything else has failed. You know, I'm broke. I'm about to lose my house. I have lost my car. So now I'm going to pray. You know, I'm going to go to God now. I'm going to give myself to you now, Lord. I have nothing else. Everything's gone. And God does allow that sometimes. I've seen it happen. Stripped of everything. I've been there, man. Stripped of everything. You know, and it comes to a point where I have nothing left but to pray and ask you. But boy, to get to a place where, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I've got plenty. And I'm going to give this because I love you. I'm going to do it because I believe you're asking me to do it. And I don't have to do it, but I'm going to give it to you because I adore you. I'm going to sacrifice that because I love you and I adore you. See, that's where we want to get to. It's not always, it's, you know, yes, sometimes it's because we're coaxed, but boy, wouldn't it be beautiful to get to that place where I'm doing it, Lord, just because I love you. And nobody even has to know that I did it. I'm doing it because I love you, and you're the only one that knows what I've done here. in your name and because of you. So that's where we want to get to. We want to get to God because we love him, you know, and not because we're looking for something. And as I told you guys last week, I said, you know, the reason why, you know, we accepted the Lord as Christians, the reason why we did that, I mean, as kids, I'm sorry, the reason why we accepted the Lord as kids is because we didn't want to go to hell. You know, that was the only reason, you know. It was like we didn't have any great love for God, but it was because we didn't want to go to hell. That's why we accepted Christ. But then you get to a point where you just love him, and you love him. And then I can sing that song, like when Andre Crouch first came out with that song, If Heaven Was Never Promised to Me, I don't know if I could just sing that song truthfully. I was like, well, I don't know, because heaven's supposed to be the big prize here, you know. But as you come to know God and to love him, you know, as he said, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he came along and brought me the light. You know, and I can't imagine my life without him now, because he has done so much. You know, he talks to me in the midnight hour. He talks to me when nobody else gets me. He gets me, and I love that. You know, and he'll say things to me that nobody else knew to say to me, but he'll say to me. You know, so you get to a place where you adore him and you love him and you give to him on purpose. Lord, I need this, but I want you to have it. You know, that's how we do when we people, when we're in love with people, you know, we've all been there. Yeah. Think we've all been there. Well, you just love somebody. You just give them things that you need, you know, and you want, but you give it to them. And that's what we're talking about. I'm tired, Lord, but I'm going to do it because I just want to do it for you, you know. So that's what we're talking about, folks, to give to yourself to God on purpose. And the scripture says, this is 1 Corinthians 6:20, and it says, you were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the blood of Jesus and made his own. Wow, don't you see that? So then honor and glorify God with your body. Honor and glorify God with your body. Okay, that goes, you know, he's talking about, you know, just what you do and how you live on this earth. Are you honoring him? Are you glorifying him? You know, you do it on purpose. You think about certain things and you don't do it because that won't honor him, you know. Or you do certain things, you know, that you might be looked at a certain way for because you do certain things, but you do it because it honors him. You befriend the person that everybody else is rejecting, you know. You care for the person that everybody else would say they're stinky, they're smelly, they don't look that great, you know, they're not of my, you know, they're not my type of people, my type of persons, but you befriend them and you love them. That's doing it on purpose. I'm glorifying God with my body and with my life here, you know, because it's about him and our relationship, you know. So again, that's where we take it, what we're talking about. Adoration involves willingly giving yourself to God. As the scripture says, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what that means. Those words were spoken by John the Baptist. If you look it up in John 3:30, it was spoken by John the Baptist. And when you really understand the situation of John the Baptist, he was born first. He was Jesus' cousin, but he was the older. He was the older one. And his ministry started first. He was out there baptizing. People were coming for John to baptize them, you know, and people were coming. He got that name, John the Baptist. That is in John 3:30. He was out there. He was baptizing. And then here comes Jesus on the scene. And he knows, he knew it because remember when Jesus came and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and Jesus came up to him and John was already saying, you know, one is coming after me whose shoe I'm not even worthy to unloosen his shoe, his sandal. And then here comes Jesus on the scene and Jesus is coming and Jesus is asking John to baptize him. And John says, you're the one that should baptize me. You know, even then he was ready to lay down his ministry. And that's when he said these words, he must increase and I must decrease. And he was telling it to his followers. He was telling them, don't follow me anymore. Follow him. See, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about giving yourself to God on purpose. I mean, he increases and I decrease. And if I'm in the background, then I go to the background. I was a big Baptist, but now I'm going to the background because he must increase and I must decrease. And you know the story of John the Baptist, that he was arrested and eventually beheaded. But when Christ came on the scene, he sent his followers, and he did it willingly, and he did it on purpose because he adored the Savior. He adored the Savior. He understood his purpose. He understood what he was there to do, and he adored the Savior. So finally, we look at this final section on adoration. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful and wonderful to belong to God. Let God know how you feel about him in praise. Praise brings clarity of his creation. And that is not true. When you praise him, you get clarity of his creation. I'll tell you, you know, I'm serious. I didn't appreciate so many things. But when you praise him, when you adore him, oh my goodness, the things that he will show you about who he is. And boy, it just makes you appreciate him even more. We're able to view life properly when we first prioritize praise. And that's in our book, page 42. So finally, bring your best praise to him. You know, as the song goes, and it's become more than just a Christmas carol, "Oh, come all you faithful," and that verse that says, "Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." So that's the adoration. We couldn't even get into the next section because I was just stuck on that adoration piece. That, you know, just learning what it is to adore him. You know, coming to God when you don't want anything. You don't need anything. Just come and just say, "Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I love you. I just want you to know I love you today. You know, I just want you to know that I'm grateful for what you've done. You know, I'm grateful and I praise you and I think you're amazing." You know, and watch him show you even more things, you know. Any comments or questions? We're finishing up a little early today. Any comments or questions? Rose.
I know we're talking about prayer and everything, and sometimes we don't know what to pray. Mm-hmm. So what I do in my prayer is spell prayer. So P for praise, R for repent, and A for ask whatever you need to ask. And Y is to yield.
Wow.
E is to expect what you ask. And R is the result.
The result, wow.
So that's what I'm saying. So if you don't know what to pray, and I just go right to that.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I, yeah.
Wow.
I like that.
That's good. You need to write that down for us. Okay. Did someone write that down?
P is for praise.
Yeah.
R is for repent. A is to ask. Y is to yield, E is to expect, and R is the result.
Wow, that's beautiful. Anybody else have any questions or comments? I'm just going to get you on the phone.
Reminded Linda Ransom was here. She used to play the song, "Every Praise is to My God."
Yes,
I remember when I had just been healed from cancer, and I went to the altar, and I just lift my hands, and I, you know, after going through such a hard time, and I'm just saying, "Lord, I love you, and I thank you that I'm here, and I praise you for my life. Thank you for healing me." And I said, "I just feel like dancing." And then the Spirit moved her, and she said, "You feel like dancing, dance." And that's where the Holy Spirit took hold of me, and I just, you know, danced in praise to him, and it's just good to give thanks to God.
Yeah, it is.
And said, not even if not asking, I mean, while I was going through cancer, yes, there was the asking, but I mean, just coming out of it, there's nothing but praise.
Yes, nothing but praise. I mean, and on any given day, we have things we can ask. But, you know, I dare you to just adore him and praise him. I remember
I had a similar situation. It wasn't as serious as mm-hmm. cancer, but my shoulder was just almost frozen. I just couldn't lift mm-hmm. it past this point. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were in service, and a friend of mine came up to me and says, "Hey, just praise God." And she took my arm. She didn't know what was going on. She took my arm, and she went, "Praise Him." And she took my arm all the way up. And oh, my goodness. Something happened, and my shoulder was fine ever since then. And it was like, oh, Lord, thank you. I should have been, you know, just praising you, you know, instead of nursing, you know, this arm, you know. So I just thank God for that moment. I'm like, Lord, it happened in praise and worship, you know. So God, even though you're just praising Him, He answers so much. Amen. Just in praise.
And I think that also when we pray, not just asking in the flesh, and mm-hmm. I think we need to be in the spirit. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the way God always hears us in spirit anyways. Mm-hmm. So if you ask us in the flesh, He will not really hear you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why when I teach somebody and minister to somebody, say, make sure you adore Him, you praise Him first, before you do even, He knows whatever you need mm-hmm. already.
He
already knows. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is praise Him, thank Him mm-hmm. every day. You don't have mm-hmm. to ask Him. Mm-hmm. You know, just praise Him for mm-hmm. who He is. Mm-hmm. And I always say that.
I don't
that.
Mean to be rude in that, but I'd have to disagree with in the flesh part. Not that say I'd be in the flesh, mm-hmm. but when I was without Christ, mm-hmm. without a relationship, mm-hmm. I was a teenager, and in my growing up, it was very violent. Mm-hmm. And I had a boyfriend who... We had each other.
Yeah.
And there was a first love type thing, but everything around me was violent and awful and it was dark. Mm-hmm. But that was my only love yeah. in life. Yeah. And he was gonna be taken away because he got caught doing something. And I remember crying out and saying, "God, if you're real, please don't take him away from me."
But you were in spirit because you wanted God in that time of need. You know what I'm mm-hmm, saying? Mm-hmm. You're not really in the flesh because you were in the bottom that mm-hmm. you really wanted
yes.
him.
Yeah.
So you're really actually in spirit because you wanted him so much.
Yeah. You know we talked about communion. Mm-hmm. You know, communion mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're perfect.
Right.
Communion is like you walls are down.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, mm-hmm. we're talking now.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was that girl mm-hmm. who cursed him because I didn't mm-hmm. know him mm-hmm. and I didn't, you mm-hmm. know, but
yeah.
there were a couple of times in that place that, yeah. you know, in my desperation mm-hmm. for what was happening, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and
he understands, you know,
mm-hmm. you know I yeah. had even asked him, you know, "You better not give me kids," because I personally did not want uh-huh. what was happening for them to I loved my children yeah. so much, I didn't want that to happen to them, mm-hmm. and I'll do it myself, I won't even let that person over there hurt them, you know, mm-hmm. and stupid stuff, but you know what he did for me though was I never had children, and but he never took the paternal love, he never took
yes,
the love for children, mm-hmm. and that was wow. his wisdom in my lack of it.
Yeah.
And when I found that out, it even makes me want to cry now.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I was talking about in the lesson. You know, you look back and you're like, oh my God,
yeah.
the things I did, the things I said. You know, he heard. But when you were ready to really talk to him, walls went down.
Yeah.
It didn't mean you were perfect. It was mean you were being real.
Mm-hmm.
You were ready
That's
to be real is. With him.
Exactly.
And as she was saying, you're in spirit now. I'm communing with you. My spirit is talking to you right now.
Yeah, okay.
Straight up.
You know. You subdue your flesh.
Yeah.
So that's why when you do that, you're in desperate. That's why we are... That's
yeah.
when your spirit comes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of being real. And I really want to emphasize that mm-hmm. to people. It's not about being perfect
before
you can talk to God. We're none of us are perfect.
No,
it's about when He sees your heart is serious, yeah. is real,
That's
being
right.
real with Him. You know, as opposed. I mean, I've known people that are very religious,
yeah.
but their
yeah.
prayers are just so superficial and plastic and. You know, they're not coming from
okay.
the spirit, but that's beautiful.
Praying in a place like, oh, you know, you get up, okay, Lord, I need this today, you know.
Yeah.
That's what
oh,
I'm saying.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, I see that as religious.
Yeah.
Well, finish your story. I want to hear the end of the story.
So. Well, you know, through all of that, it just, I came to know him. I was introduced at certain times through churches and just different, I've seen a lot of things where it was like, gee, I thought we were, like you said, praise and worship. You know, when God first touched my life, I was so ecstatic. All that came out of my mouth was praise God, praise God. And they said, someone said to me from the church, you're fake. And I said, what do you mean I'm fake? Well, all you say is praise God. And I said, I can't help it. It just comes out. And it did. It was just like, praise God, praise God. Uh-huh. And they were like, what's wrong with you? All you say is praise God. But I was so new, I couldn't explain right.
Yeah.
And
oh boy, yeah. But how beautiful.
And the joy of mine and worshiping, it was like, okay, now let's just kind of calm down now. You know. So I got a lot of that in growing
up.
That's
like,
oh, please, not so loud, not so loud. Yeah. You're disrupting the church. Please, not so loud. I was like,
Oh, boy.
But when my spirit got ministered to and taught, you know, I knew I was in the right place.
Yes.
So God brought that to me. So I know I'm in the right place.
Absolutely. I mean, let your voice hit the ceiling when it comes to worship and praise.
There was so much to be thankful for.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
The reality of God's life was just...
I had to hit bottom.
Yeah.
I think everybody had to hit bottom.
Yeah,
because I can remember that everything was gone in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked out on that rock, I mean, I had absolutely nothing, nothing. And I remember my Sunday school teacher telling me, Virginia, God is real. He has a plan for you, and He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to. And I said, so then after that, I said, okay, God, if you are real, you prove it to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And He did. He did.
And
when He did, the next thing I knew, He was holding me. And he said, now you must, no, I don't want to go. He said, you must go, your daughter's looking for you, she needs you. I felt those chains fall. The chains fell, and I kicked them into the ocean, and then I walked off that rock, and I went up, and Nancy was coming down the aisle, and she said, Mom, what happened? And I said, I don't know, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And it has been.
It has been okay.
But it's been rough.
It's been, yeah.
I had 4 years of major surgery.
Yeah.
And when she said that he had a plan, he didn't stop.
Yeah.
It was, well, first of all, it just started out with a little paring knife, but then it got down to a jigsaw. You know, you had to start really digging in and rolling in.
Awesome.
But I wouldn't give it up for anything. I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah.
But I would get one for
anything.
I thank you for my growth, but Lord, I don't want to go through that again.
No. But I see that red light, I go, and like you said, did you hear me yet? Hear me yet? When I heard this commercial on TV, have you heard me yet?
Can you hear me now? That reminds me of that song, The Reckless Love of God, you know.
Yeah.
He goes through anything, climbs up any mountain, goes through any walls. To get to you.
Yeah.
He'll take you of everything. He stripped me too. He took everything.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and, but, you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Mom, I was changed. I mean, nothing mattered. And I can't explain it. And she, just like when Nancy said, I don't know, but it's going to be okay. And I looked out, and there was a big, beautiful moon.
Mm-hmm.
The waters were quiet.
I know. Mm-hmm. Don't the colors even get better?
Yeah. And a gentle breeze, and I said, oh.
He's here. Giving you a hug.
That's why I go to Galveston and try it once a year, because I've got to get out on that rock.
On that rock. We had your coming to Jesus meeting.
That was my funeral.
That was your funeral. Wow.
That was my funeral.
Wow.
Because when those chains fell, my flesh fell.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah. I was reading that in your stuff. Yeah, you wrote that. Yeah. Anybody else?
My kids thought that was absolutely crazy.
Yes.
What happened to you?
Yes.
I got
you.
You
were that old selfish, self-centered woman that cared about nothing. Now you're loving and you want to do this? What happened?
What happened to you?
Oh, it won't last. It won't last, but it's lasted 42 years.
It's lasted 42 years. Coming to Jesus in peace.
sometimes what you were saying about the name of Jesus, after my husband died, I could not pray. Not that I didn't want to, but nothing would come out of my mouth except Jesus. Jesus. And I talked to somebody later on, they said that's powerful, because it was like every time I'd start to get overwhelmed, all I could say was Jesus. And for about a year, I didn't read my Bible. I kept it open to Psalm 34. And I wouldn't even read it, but I touched it. Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus. And for such a long time, that was all there was. But that name carried me through.
Amen.
Yes,
yes. It means so much.
Yes.
It means
yes.
so much.
And sometimes at night, I wake up and, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. And I think I must be having dreams or I know I'm communicating, but I wake up with those words. And it's always like, yes.
It's the simple things that he wants out of us. Not so much you have to express yourself in so many words. It's just the simple part of your heart that he wants.
But you feel absolutely that gratitude that you feel.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure I announce the movie date. If you still want to.
Okay, I had an opportunity to do a movie that scene, Crucified for Jesus, I think it was called. And I offered, if you want to come to my house, I'll show the movie episode still on.
Tortured for Christ?
Tortured for Christ.
Tortured for Christ.
I gotta get the title right first. Anyway, it was on.
Are you guys hearing this? She's talking about
so
that
if
movie.
You want to come to the house to see it, just let me know when it's convenient for you. It's a Sunday, okay?
It's
to see a
movie
called Tortured for Christ. Christ. It's about missionaries and people in other countries, what they go through to keep the Lord in their life and what happens when they get caught. It's very dramatic. It makes you so thankful that we live where we live, you know, we don't have to go through things like that. So it's really heartbreaking, it really is, but at the same time it awakens you how grateful we should be and how we should be actually helping those people as well in other countries that go with what they go through. So I'm still more than willing to show the movie in my home, but I just wanted to see, do you actually want to come to my house, or do you want to save it for a time when we go down Sister Karen's? But did you pull it up on your TV?
I didn't check yesterday.
Okay, that's something we check in.
Because it's on PureFlix too, I believe.
Yeah,
that's where I saw it.
You have PureFlix.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have PureFlix no more, but I have that other one too. So, I mean, I want to be
I'm pretty sure
group,
it's still on
so,
there, yeah.
So I can make sure I save that time for the Bible study. It's a movie that I seen that I thought everybody would love to see.
Have some dinner at your house. Or we can talk about it.
You got to at least have some pie, okay? Or some cake, Kathy, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
But anyway.
We're church people. You guys.
anybody that knows me know I don't like to cook. Which is not my favorite place.
Well, you know, we could do it. You know, if you want to do bring dessert, you know, like do
no,
dessert.
No problem. But. So I just wanted you to keep an open mind to you're aware of it, and this way I'll just make sure that time is allowed for the group to come over and, you know, have fellowship. So this Sunday is out because I had something else going, which I forgot about. But so if you want to do it sometime within the month of October coming, or, I mean, what's open to you guys? What do you want to do?
Sundays are always open.
Sundays are always
Why
open.
Why don't you do a sign-up sheet?
And around around 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Yeah,
this gives you time to go home, feed your family.
We'll have we can do a sign up, put a date, sign up sheet, and then you'll know how it's coming.
Yeah,
and then maybe
really
we can just make it just dessert and coffee.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like that. Okay,
that's fine. And I'll get a card where I live. I live right here in Belmont.
Okay, sounds good. Anybody else before we finish up?
I just wanted Rose to repeat that again, but I think in praise, repent, ask, yield, and what's the ER?
Expect.
Yes, expect.
End result.
Oh, thank you.
Repent.
Yeah, that's good.
What's the A, Rose?
Which is funny, I never thought of the acronym, but that's...
Would you you need to text it to me. Text it to me.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. Anybody else before we pray? Okay, let's close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Oh, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Holy Spirit, how you help us, how you show us, Lord God. We thank you for how patient you are with us, Lord God. And yes, Lord, today we just adore you. We just adore you and how amazing you are, Lord, and how merciful you've been to us, Lord. It overwhelms us when we think of where we were and where we are today. And it's all because of your grace. All because of your mercy, Lord God. We know we didn't deserve it, Lord God. We should have been out of here a long time ago. But you, O Lord, have blessed us and kept us. You, O Lord, were gracious toward us, Lord God. So today we just say thank you. And today we just say we adore you, Lord. I pray you would bring a spirit of adoration for you upon us, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, even as you take away complaining and grumbling, Lord, you would replace it with adoration and praise of your name, Lord God. I pray that we would appreciate what is around us, Lord God. We would appreciate your creation, Lord God. Oh, God, we would thank you, Lord, for all the many things we have, Lord God. The enemy always wants to bring to our mind what's wrong, Lord God. But, Lord, I pray that we would praise you and worship you for what you have done and what is right in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And I also, I'm a minority, my husband and I, you know that. We do